Hello, we'll be reading from the writings of Rabash the article, One Should Always Sell the Beams of His House. You can find the materials on our sites. You can also send questions there. Pertinent questions to the lesson will be aired during the lesson. Rav, we're going to be continuing to be reading the social writings of Rabash. We need to understand why we're doing this. Day to day, we discover more and more that our world is entering to enter a great crisis that has never been as such. There have been crises that led to revolutions, to economical crises in the human structure of society, in all kinds of ways. There'd be where one faction would be resistant to another faction, and thus there'd be quarrels of different sorts. Now we're entering a completely different crisis. A process in which the whole world is discovering how it is in a truly in a state where it's standing before everything that it's built with our egos, and this form that is being under examination, scrutiny, and a decision of what to keep of it and what not. And many of our businesses and many of our approaches, calculations, relations between us, many of them will fall and disappear from upon this world and the human society, and we will have to see how the Creator that is showing us this whole process, as at first I've created the evil inclination and we built seemingly, as He arranged us such that we built and have done, and the evil inclination, our ego, pushed us, and all this upon the ruin.
We did it with the negative egoistic force. Now we have to be witnesses of how this force is gradually ruined, and instead of it, we have to see and decide on ourselves that only the force of connection, which is the force of the Creator, will rule over reality.
Therefore, we will have to be in partnership with the Creator in building this new society. Integral society around Earth. And it's beginning to already, with the ruin of the previous state, it's building the new state. We're living in a very special time where we can identify and see, whereas other people don't understand what's happening. They think that everything is the same style, the same trend, egotistically, and everything will go back, and they're all thinking of how they're going to return to the state that was. They need to think that in order to despair and understand that this force of the ego that once operated and built the world, the human society, this force is passé. It's come down from its role, and now the force of connection, the integral force, the force of the Creator is here to take over. We need to understand this and explain this to all of humanity. such that we will all be able to digest the reception of the new world that's arriving, like it or not, but it is in our power to understand this and to even rise as fast as possible, and for this to be clarified to us from the system of relations between us, this new system. That's it. That's why we were reading the social writings of Rabash, because those forces that are doing all these things in the society of students, we are all going to see that we have no choice, but rather we need to be the students of the Creator, the students of the wise, because the Creator is called the wise, and to learn from him how to build a society that will all be integral and that is all to be in a mutual connection. In connection. In a connection in which one will help his friend, love thy friend as yourself, and from the love of the created beings, we will discover the love of the Creator. Please. Again, we're reading in this Rabash social writings, we're reading the article, One Should Always Sell the Beams of His House. Rabbi Yehuda said, Rav said, one should always sell the beams of his house and put shoes on his feet. We should understand the precision about the beams of one's house and the great importance of shoes to the point that it is worth selling the beams of his house for it, meaning to have the ability to put shoes on his feet. We should interpret it in the work. The korot, the beams of his house, come from the word mikre, incident, meaning everything that a person experienced in his home. We perceive man by two discernments, by knowledge, meaning with the intellect, and by emotion, meaning what we feel in our hearts, whether we are happy or, God forbid, unhappy. These incidents that we experience evoke questions in our everyday lives. This applies between a person and his creator, and between a person and his friend. Between a person and the creator means that he has complaints that the creator is not satisfying all his needs. In other words, the creator should fulfill what a person thinks he needs, because the rule is that the conduct of the good is to do good. And sometimes he complains as though he feels the opposite, that his situation is always worse than that of others, who are at a higher degree than he is. It follows that he is in a state called spies, who slander Providence because he doesn't feel that delight and pleasure in his life, and it is hard for him to stay. It's hard for him to say, only goodness and grace will follow me all the days of my life. Thus, at that time, he is in a state of spies. Our sages said about that, one must bless for the bad as he blesses for the good. Since the basis of Judaism is built on faith above reason, this means not relying on what the intellect compels one to think, say, and do, but on faith in a benevolent higher providence, and precisely by justifying providence, one is later rewarded with feeling delight and pleasure. Bala Sulam gave an allegory about a person who had complaints and demands to the Creator that he wasn't granting all his wishes, which is like a person who is walking on the street with a little child, and the child is crying bitterly. All the people on the street are looking at the father and thinking, how cruel is this man who can hear his son crying without paying any attention? The child's cries make even people on the street feel sorry for the child. But this man, who is his father, doesn't. And there is a rule, as a father has compassion on his children. The child's cries made people go to his father and ask, where is your mercy? Then his father replied, what can I do if my son, whom I love, I keep like the apple of my eye, demands of me to give him a pin so he can scratch his eye because he has an itch in his eyes? Can I be called cruel for not granting his wish? Or is it for mercy that I will not give it to him so he will not poke his eye and remain blind forever? Therefore, we must believe that everything that the Creator gives us is for our good, for our own good. Although we must pray just in case that the Creator will lift these troubles from us. However, we must know that the prayer and the granting of the prayer are two separate things. In other words, if we do what we must, then the Creator will do what is good for us, as with the above allegory. It is said about that, and the Lord will do that which seems good to him. The same principle applies to a person and his friend, meaning that he should sell the beams of his house and put shoes on his feet. In other words, a person should sell the beams of his house, meaning all the incidents that his house experienced in regards to love of friends. One may have questions and complaints about his friend, since he is working devotedly in love of friends. Yet he sees no response on the part of the friends that would help him in any way. They are all behaving not according to his understanding of how love of friends should be, meaning that each one will speak to his friend in a respectable manner, as it is among distinguished individuals. Also, regarding actions, he sees no action on the part of the friends that he can look at in relation to love of friends. Instead, everything is normal, as it is among ordinary people who still did not have an interest in coming together and deciding to build a society where there is love of friends, where each cares for the well-being of the others. Thus, now he sees that there is no one to look at who engages in love of friends. And since he feels that he is the only one who is walking on the right path, and he is looking at everyone with contempt and scorn, this is called spies. That is, he is spying on his friends to see if they are behaving properly towards him in regards to love thy friend. And since he constantly hears that the friends are preaching all day long that love of others is the most important, he wants to see if what they say is what they do. And then he sees that it is all lip service. He finds that even in his speaking, there is no love of others. And this is the smallest thing in love of others. In other words, if he asks someone a question, he answers him offhandedly, indifferently, not in the way one answers a friend. Rather, it is all in coldness, as though he wants to get rid of him. And don't ask me if you're thinking about love of others. Why are you criticizing if your friend loves you? As no love of friends is established on the basis of self-love. This is why I wanted to see what my self-love gained from this engagement. These are not my thoughts. Rather, I truly want love of others. This is why I was interested in establishing this society, so I would see that each and every one is engaging in love of others, so that through it, the little bit of force that I have in love of others would increase, and I would have the strength to engage in love of others more powerfully than I could by myself. But now I see that I have gained nothing, because I see that not even one is doing good. Thus, it would be better if I weren't with them and hadn't learned from their actions. To that there is a reply that if a society is established with certain people, and when they gathered, there must have been someone who wished to establish specifically this bunch. Thus, he sorted out these people to see that they were suitable for each other. In other words, each of them had a spark of love of others. But the spark could not ignite the light of love to shine in each. So they agreed that by uniting, the sparks would become a big flame. Hence now too, when he is spying on them, he should overcome and say, as all of them were of one mind that they must walk on the path of love of others, when the society was established, so it is now. And when everyone judges his friends favorably, all the sparks will ignite once more, and again there will be one big flame. It is as Bala Sulam once said when he asked about the covenant that two friends make, as we find in the Torah. And Abraham took sheep and oxen and gave them unto Abimelech, and they two made a covenant. He asked, if the two of them love each other, of course they do good to each other. And naturally, when there is no love between them, because the love has waned for some reason, they do not do good to one another. So how does making a covenant between them help? He answered that the covenant that they do is not for now. Since now, when the love is left between them, there is no need to make a covenant. Rather, the making of the covenant is done purposely for the future. In other words, it is possible that after some time, they will not feel the love as they do now, for they will still keep their relations as before. This is what the making of the covenant is for. We can also see that although now they do not feel the love as it was when the society was established, everyone must still overcome his view and go above reason. By that, everything will be corrected and each will judge his friend favorably. Now we can understand the words of our sages who said one should always sell the beams of his house and put shoes on his feet. Minalaim, shoes, comes from the word neilat deret, locking a door, meaning closing. Once a person has spied on his friend, rigel, spied, comes from the word raglaim, feet, he should sell the beams of his house. Meaning all that has happened to his house in the connection between him and his friend, meaning the spies that he has, who slander the friends, then sell everything. Means remove all the incidents that the spies have brought to him and put shoes on his feet instead. The meaning is that he should lock away the spies as though they no longer exist in the land. And he will shut away all the questions and demands that he has about them, and then everything will come to its place in peace.
No.
Well, let's hear some questions and we'll clarify it accordingly. So ask, don't be afraid. Moscow 1.
Rav, here it's written that prayer is one thing and the answering of the prayer is another. How can we understand that? They ask for a bicycle and the father gives him a sword.
We ask of the Creator one thing, and He gives us another thing. And we need to accept this other thing as the exact response to what we asked. That we just couldn't express what we needed, but the Creator knows what we need, and so He gives us what we really need.
I have several questions. The first question: I understood that when those spies awaken in me, these are states that will repeat themselves. And I understand that it's a right sign of the correct advancement.
Wait. If I feel on my efforts that I'm getting a certain answer, and even if I don't, that too is an answer, and I try to interpret this correctly and remain in adhesion with the Creator, then I advance correctly. I don't always understand the Creator's response, but it's always there. I don't always feel it, but it's always there. The response I'm getting from the Creator is not always what I would think. It could be opposite to what I asked and wanted to hear. However, I always need to realize that I get an answer from the Creator for sure. Either I don't feel it, or I do, but I don't decipher it correctly. Or I truly felt and understood the answer, and I agree with it. Hebrew 10.
Good morning, Rav. Could be that the friend, the person that he spied on something upon the friends, something that happened in the past, and it remains for years. He built his whole attitude to the friends and the group upon it. My question is, how he writes to lock what was and shut it down, and everything will come back and be covered up in peace. How does a person lock all the spying he had once, upon which he founded all his love of friends, so that everything will come to peace.
We all go through several of these inner revolutions, and we have to understand these are necessary states for each and every one. Also, in spirituality, in the transition between the degrees, and especially between one world to another that we go through, there is a very great turning point. It's through a crisis, just like what we go through in corporeality in this world. We have to go through the crisis. The crisis means the place of birth. The word in Hebrew also means the place where a woman gives birth. And through that place we go to a new world. So there's no choice with respect to the group, with respect to society, with respect to past friends in the past, or, you know, being in the group and behaving for years in a certain way towards them. It's still me in the will to receive that the Creator keeps in me. The Creator does it. And I keep going, and I'm, you know, like I'm dumb. I just keep going this way. Everyone goes through that in a more or less conspicuous way. And afterwards, I realize, how did I behave all those years? All those years went by for nothing. No, they didn't. None of it went by for nothing. It all comes from above. We only have one king, one governor, the Creator. And so there's no problem that now He gave me the mind and heart to leave my present state and start behaving in a new state. There's no problem with that. And my friends are going to understand that. Why? Because the Creator also governs them. I have to understand there's none else besides Him right in front of me. So don't be afraid. Try to improve yourselves towards the friends. So I was behaving in a certain way for 10 years. I was immersed in my ego and I didn't saw a thing. But now I see. So thankfully, now I can accept my society, my group, in a better way. And I feel like I'm a new man and they are new to me.
Bishkek.
Bishkek.
Hi, Rav. My question, why do the sages, and they said it and wrote in those words, and they didn't write in a direct way, so that we will search ourselves what the meaning of every word is?
They spoke in such a way that not every person can understand what they wrote, because they didn't want to confuse people who are not yet related to the spiritual work. Look how many people around you, where you live in Bishkek, and all kinds of people or relatives or people who don't have anything to do with the wisdom of Kabbalah or spiritual development. What do you want from them? So they must not see what you see, but rather, just like yourself, gradually, bit by bit by bit, just like we teach a little child, same with you. So you're going to gradually, patiently open up this whole method, this, and the same thing with regards to them. It opens up to any person according to his inner development. And if you're going to tell him more than his development, that will be dangerous to him. It's just like you're giving a baby a gun to play with. PT
12. Well, a person doesn't feel the love of friends in the group. How does he work on keeping the Arvut, and where does he get the strength to do the Arvut in the group?
As much as he can. what can you do? As much as possible. So he works, so he arranges the friends to himself, the group. He changes by them and he helps them change. That's how it works. It works. It happens. It passes. What's important is as much as possible to submit yourself to the group. That's the safest thing. You're going to see this from experience. You're just throwing yourself into them, into the friends, and you definitely advance, especially when you have nothing of your own. That's just salvation. Ita 4.
The Rav, the question is, why is it important to remember the covenant when I'm in a state of a spy towards the friends?
Remembering the covenant, we need to do that as much as possible, especially in states where I feel like I've lost the way, like I am criticizing them, I'm very confused. Then the covenant needs to tie me back to that raft, to that boat that everyone's in, and that's how I move along with them. So every one of us, many times during the day or the week, goes through, you know, these internal turbulences where you don't know what's going on with you. It becomes more clear, less clear. It's and all these changes of states where we go through very quickly these inner states, and what becomes clarified in us, what becomes clear in us, gives us a certain observation on ourselves and the work and the group and everything and the world. And so simply tie yourself, just like sailors tie themselves to the ship, so that the waves will not throw them into the ocean. Similarly, we have to tie ourselves to the group. Jerusalem. Jerusalem.
Hello, everyone. It's defined in the article to sell the beams of his home, as if there's some kind of profit in selling it. In every selling, there's a profit. What's the profit?
Of course, when you get rid of it and go forward. You get rid of it and go forward. That's it. So we will continue with something else. If there are no more questions, then what do? Michael?
We have excerpts on the topic of the work in Faith Above Reason. Do we want to sing a song before? Let's hear a song.
Yes.
The time is near and we will see all people here in unity. As one nation, as one home, in celebration and in song. We're not naive, it's not a dream. We suffered long enough to see there's no escape, nowhere to hide, no belief to be our God. This love between us all, forever in our hearts. This love between us all, forever in our hearts. This love between us all, forever in our hearts. And so alive, to shine, no pain, no sorrow recognized.
light will come to shine. No pain nor sorrow recognize. And every heart will sing one song. And every melody as one. There's love between us all forever in our hearts. There's love between us all forever in our hearts. There's love between us all. La 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 la.